Open your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Peter. The book of 1 Peter. We have been studying about the life of Peter, his life, his ministry, his journey as a disciple, and trying to learn about how that informs our journey of discipleship. To be a believer is to be called to follow Jesus. And we don't want to just believe in him, we want to follow him. Amen. He said to those Jews that believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And we want to continue to follow him. And Peter was one who did. Peter was one who was called by the Lord. The Lord said, follow me. And he did. And he didn't do it perfectly. He failed many times. He came up short. But God was gracious and merciful and continued to teach him and work with him. And so we've kind of looked at a lot of that in his life, but we come tonight, and we're going to take the time this spring and maybe into the summer a little bit, but on Wednesday nights, we're going to study 1 and 2 Peter, Lord willing. Peter is writing here to believers scattered throughout the Roman Empire, and he's reminding them that their identity is secure in Christ, their trials have purpose, and their hope is eternal. I don't know... you know, I'm thankful tonight that, you know, Ben was transparent with us, and we need that. Amen. We need to be honest. You know, we've talked about that a lot, the fact that, you know, when somebody asks you how you're doing, and we lie all the time, we're like, oh, yeah, I'm doing great. We're not. The truth is we need to be honest with ourselves and with each other. And I don't know if you feel this. It's so crazy to me because I talk to people, and some people are in the best place they've been in a long time, and things are really, really good. Things are good in their life. Things are good in their heart, their mind, their family. Like, things are really in a high place. Other people in the church right now are about as low as you could get. They're in a terrible place. They're struggling with mental health or physical health or financial troubles. Like, everybody in the church is at a different place today, but, you know, God's the same. And we all go through different trials at different times in different ways, but it just, I'm going to tell you this, as the pastor, just talking to a lot of people the past several weeks, I feel like a lot of people are really under attack right now. Amen. And that tells me a couple of things. When Satan gets busy attacking the church, that tells me we're in a good place. Amen. You might feel like we're in a bad place because, you know, things are bad, but I believe that when Satan really seems to be at work, that indicates that we're going the right direction. Amen. When you're going the right direction, there's going to be resistance. There's going to be combat. There's going to be fight against you. So if you are fighting right now, that's good. Amen. Because that's where we want to be. We're going to be at a battle. And Peter's writing to people in Rome at a time when persecution was heavy. We're not really in a place that we can compare where we're at in America today as Christians to where they were at Rome in that time. But we're going to study about where they were and what they were going through. And there are going to be some principles that we can apply because trials are trials. And whatever your trials are, whatever your temptations are, whatever your struggles are, we want to learn that God has purpose in our trials. He's trying to accomplish things in your life, but our hope is in Christ. Our hope is in Christ. So this series is going to be through 1 Peter. We're going to focus on how believers can stand firm in their faith, even when you're facing hardship. That from the living hope we find in Jesus Christ, there is glory that follows the suffering. Amen. There's glory that comes after the suffering. And Peter tells us that we can be strong in the Lord. He encourages us, and he tells us to trust in the promises of God. So we're going to talk about the hope of Christ. We're going to talk about this idea of faithfully enduring. Faithful endurance is kind of going to be the theme. And we're going to talk about being faithfully enduring through the hope of Christ in the holiness of God, with honor in our relationships with other people, by the help of the Holy Spirit, through the heat of trials, by humility and vigilance. And I'm hopeful that as we walk through this, we're going to come to a place where we just see that when our faith is tested, when suffering is real in our life, that believers are being called to be different than the world around us. Amen. To respond differently to our suffering, to respond differently to our trials. And he kind of gives us a roadmap to have that kind of unshakable confidence in Christ. And I hope that this this time in God's Word will be a blessing to you. Tonight, we're going to just start in the beginning. So if you're able, let's stand together, if you would. We're going to pray together one more time, and then we're going to read from the Word of God in 1 Peter chapter 1. Father in heaven, thank you for the time together tonight. And Lord, as I look on the congregation that's in the room and I see those who are here, I pray that you'll bless each one of them. Help us all in those trials and struggles that we're dealing with today in our hearts and minds, our families. Lord, there are spiritual battles, mental and emotional battles. There are physical battles. And in it all, we pray for your grace and your help. Lord, as I look around the room, I see those empty spots. And I pray for those that aren't here tonight. I know many of them are going through battles all their own, struggling with physical struggles and trials, mental and emotional, spiritual battles. And Lord, I know that you know everything. And I pray that tonight as we pray, you'll hear the cry of our hearts, like you heard Israel in Egypt. Lord, that you'll come and that you'll deliver and that you'll help. I pray that you'll give strength to the weak, or we're all weak. I pray that you'll give help to all of us because we can't do anything without you. I pray, Lord, that you'll work in our hearts and minds tonight, in our lives. And as we look into the Word of God tonight, we'll be reminded of the hope that we have in Jesus. That as we look on the face of our Savior, our trials and tribulations will become very, very dim. And we'll just walk in the glory and the hope of our Savior. Please help me. Lord, I'm nothing without you, and I pray that you'll help. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Before you sit down, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively or a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and it fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you, that with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Amen. Please be seated. So tonight we start with the hope of Christ. So we're talking about faithful endurance, being able to endure the trials that we face in this life and do it with faithfulness and cheerful endurance, to be faithful to God, to stay faithful to him, and to keep moving forward. And sometimes we get this idea that that trials are going to come, tribulations are going to come, and what you have to do is just grit your teeth and bear it. What you have to do is just put your head down and keep moving forward. What you have to do is just kind of muster something up in yourself and keep on keeping on. And I want to make this clear, that is not the message that I'm preaching tonight. Amen. My message is not for you to just suck it up and move on. My message to you is not that you be a man and pull up yourself by your bootstraps. My message to you is that you have hope in Jesus Christ and you move forward in faith because of him. That you keep moving forward because of who Christ is and because of what he's done for you and what he's doing in you. I'm trying to tell you tonight that it's all about him. It's not even about us. Amen. He's given us trials because he wants to perfect us. He wants to purify us. We talked a little bit about Job here lately and in our disciple group and some different things. And, you know, Job endured more than I even want to think about enduring. Amen. My goodness. He lost everything he had. You know, God allowed Satan to take everything from him, including his health. The only thing he left him was his wife, who said to him, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" That's all he had left, was a wife who told him to give up. And he was in a bad place, wasn't he? I mean, forget about all the flocks and herds and all those things. Forget about the buildings. Forget about the crops. He lost all 10 of his children at one time. I can't even fathom the grief and pain that he endured. I can't even imagine it. But you know, Job said, "When he has tried me, I will come forth like fire." And you know, Peter's going to talk about that later in this letter. He's going to talk about the fiery trial that is to try us. The idea being that when you take the gold out of the ground, it's got all kinds of impurities and it's got all kinds of dirt and other things in it. And what happens is you have to put it in the fire to burn off the dross, to get rid of the impurities. And when it comes out of the fire, it's purified, it's better. And God's going to use the trials of our lives to make us better. I'm telling you that our hope is in Christ. It's not about you just getting over it and moving on. I wish Daryl was here. Daryl, if it doesn't matter what's wrong with you, Daryl says change your socks. Make everything better. Just change your socks. Because Daryl's a Marine. And in the Marines, that's what you do. You get shot, change your socks. Keep going. That's what you do. Doesn't matter. Break your leg, change your socks, keep going. Doesn't matter. That's a little extreme. When I was growing up and with my kids sometimes, whatever it is, rub a little dirt on it. Anybody get told that? Just rub a little dirt on it. Fall down, skin your knee, rub a little dirt on it. Fall out of the tree, break your arm, rub a little dirt on it. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that but that's not what I'm talking about, right? Listen, we're not talking about just get over it. And we're not talking about just pretend like everything's okay. Because I think we're really good at that in the American church today. I think we're really good at pretending like everything's okay when it's not. And we like to say the phrase, it's okay to not be okay. And we say that, but then we don't believe it. You know, sometimes if I'm really honest, I think when I tell other people it's okay to not be okay, what I'm talking about is you. It's okay for you to not be okay. It's not okay for me to not be okay. Because it's a hard thing to admit that you're not okay. Amen. So let's just all do this together tonight. Can everybody in the room just be honest enough to say that I'm not really okay all the time? Amen. I'm not okay. Amen. I'm not okay. The truth is, none of us are anything without Christ. Amen. I'm nothing without him. I can't do anything without him. But I can do all things through Christ. Now, I know that's every athlete in America, every Christian athlete in America is their favorite Bible verse. They like to paint it in their eye black and put it on their shoes and everything else. And you all know that that's not about being a better athlete, right? I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. It has nothing to do with your ball skills or your ability to hit a home run or your ability to throw a ball or tackle or anything else. It has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with enduring the suffering that comes in this life. The hope of Christ is what he tells us about here in these verses. He's writing to strangers scattered throughout the Roman Empire. These are strangers because they're foreigners in a foreign country. They're not foreigners in a foreign country because, what do you mean, Isaac? Like they're Jews and they're scattered in Roman provinces? No, they're Christians in the world. And I don't know if you're aware of this tonight, but if you're in Jesus, then this world is not your home. Amen. You're a stranger here. You're a pilgrim here. You are an ambassador here. This isn't your country. Amen. Heaven is. Amen. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of our Savior, that is our country. I am an American, but this isn't my home. I'm a citizen of planet Earth, but this is not my home. My kingdom is in heaven. It's a kingdom made without hands. So we are those who have faith in Jesus. We are elect, chosen, selected by God according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Elect according to God. I don't know if you're aware of this, but God knows everything. Amen. Somebody asked a question. I think it might have been in Sunday school class. I don't know if stuff runs together in your mind or not, but that happens to me. But somebody asked a question. They started the question. They said, did God know? Before they asked the rest of the question, the answer is, did God know? It doesn't matter what the rest of the question is. God knew. God knows everything. He knows the beginning from the end from the beginning, and everything in between. God is not bound by time, space, and matter like we are. He knows everything. So it's according to the foreknowledge of God. He's chosen. He's selected. He's elected. What? Through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. He is writing to those strangers, those who have been saved by faith in Jesus Christ because they've trusted in him. His blood has covered their sins. Their sin is covered. He's passed over. Their sin is taken away through Jesus, set apart, sanctified by the Spirit of God, born again into the kingdom of God, the family of God, because of faith in Jesus. And he says, God give you grace and let it be multiplied with peace. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. Man, I don't know about you, but I could use some grace. And I definitely need peace. And I listen, Paul, Peter, these men who write in the scriptures, they ask for this all the time. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. The peace of God be with you. And we desperately need grace and peace every moment of every day. So he talks about this idea. We are, first of all, redeemed by God. Redeemed by God. How are we redeemed? First of all, we're chosen. We're elect based on his foreknowledge. He's chosen us in Christ. Believers are sanctified by the Spirit, set apart for obedience to Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5 says, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame in him, before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. And it's by his grace that we have been saved. None of us would seek after him, but he came for us. He was lifted up for all of us so that he could draw all of us. And he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And he's chosen us in him to be holy and without blame. What does that mean? It means that God has chosen that all who believe will be holy and without blame before him in love forever. Our election is what he has done for us in Christ. John 15:16, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. Your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. I want to tell you this. Without God seeking us, we would have no hope. Amen. It's because of his amazing love that he's shown us at the cross. Amen. Chosen, selected, elected, set apart to be holy and without blame before him in love. I just know this, friends. There's a lot I don't understand about how God works and why God works the way he does. I just know this. God's sovereign in everything he does. Amen. He knows everything. It's his foreknowledge. He knows. But we have a responsibility. We must repent and believe to be saved. And God knew from the beginning who would repent and believe and who wouldn't. And I know this, whoever repents and believes is saved forever and will be before him holy and blameless for eternity. Amen. And it's not because of us. Amen. It's because of him. It's not because of any goodness in us that he saved us. It's because that he loved us. Amen. Chosen, then he uses this idea of being born again. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord. This is verse 3. Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. A lot of times, if I had the joy of sharing the gospel with somebody and they responded with faith, they would pray and ask Jesus to save them. When that happens, this is one of the places I like to take them. Very first thing, they get saved. Let's go to 1 Peter. I want you to see this, because what you want them to see is that they've been born again unto a living hope, and it's because Jesus died and rose again. They're born again. Born again. Jesus said to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You have to be born again. Now, Nicodemus, his mind was blown by that. He didn't understand it. How can a man, like, what's he going to do? Get back in his mama's belly after he's an old man? Like, I don't understand what you're saying, Jesus. Like, I don't get it. And Jesus said, that which is born of the flesh is, that which is born of the spirit is. Don't be shocked that I tell you, you got to be born again. He's trying to teach us it's a spiritual reality and you must be born again. We have to be born by faith in Jesus. Titus 3 and verse 5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. It's regeneration. I remember reading in, I think it's in the Dunn book. We like to give those out a lot. And if you haven't read that little booklet, you ought to read it. But he talks about how we're born with a spiritual birth defect. We all, our spiritual DNA is corrupted. And what happens is when you get saved, when you put your faith in Jesus, you are born again. God rewrites your spiritual DNA. He regenes you. It's regeneration. He makes you new. You are a new creature in Christ. And I want you to get this tonight. It's not one day you will be a new creature in Christ. Right now you are, if you're in Christ, you are a new creature. The moment you were born again, for the rest of eternity, you are a new creation. He has regened you. He has regenerated you by the Spirit of God. And because we've been born again, we ought to live a different life. Romans 6:4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Jesus died, he rose again, and then he came out of the tomb and he walked around. He showed himself alive to many witnesses by many infallible proofs. He walked around on the earth after he had been dead and rose again. And just like Jesus rose again and walked in newness of life, that's what we're supposed to do. Amen. To quit going back to our old life and the deadness and to live in newness of life. We're chosen, we're born again, we're kept. Verse 4 and 5, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Our inheritance is eternal. It never fades away. It's incorruptible. It's undefiled. It's not like anything on this earth. We're kept by the power of God. If you've been saved very long, you've probably tried to talk to somebody else about being saved. And so many times I talk to people and they know they need to be saved, they want to be saved, but they're afraid that if they get saved, they might mess up. They might not live up to it. And I try really hard, Brother Tom, not to laugh in their face, right? Of course you're going to mess up. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. We are all going to fail. We're all going to sin. None of us are going to be sinless. Now, it's not a license to sin. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How can we who are dead to sin live any longer therein? It can't define our lives. It can't be how we live our lives. But we're going to fall sometimes. We don't keep ourselves saved. We're kept by the power of God. You're not saved because of how you live your life. You're saved through faith. By grace, through faith. You're saved because you believe and you're kept by the power of God. If it was up to you to keep your salvation, then you would surely end up in hell. Amen. But you're not. It's not in your hands. It's in God's hands. He holds us in his hand. You remember what Jesus said in John 10, don't you? John 10:28, and I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I remember witnessing to a guy one time. He was delivering some stuff to the house, and I was trying to share the gospel with him. And And his faith, where he kind of comes from, he has the idea that you can lose your salvation, that you got to believe in Jesus, but you got to live a certain way in order to hold on to it. I'm like, well, consider this. So I took him to John 10. I'm like, he says that he holds you in his hand and nobody can pluck you out. And the Father holds you in his hand and no man can pluck you out. He said, well, no man can, but you can pluck yourself out. It doesn't make much sense, does it? I'm like, are you not a man? Are you not a man? No man, no human being can pluck you out of the Father's hand. No creature, no part of creation can take you out of the Father's hand. Satan himself can't take you out of the Father's hand. Friends, if anybody in the universe wanted to take you out of God's hands, it's the devil. Amen. And he can't. Amen. Nobody can take you out of the Father's hand. You're kept secure in Christ. I love Colossians 3:3. It says, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Your life is hid with Christ. When you're born again, you're in him, you're kept, and you're secure. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. You see the word there, shall? Then shall ye appear with him in glory. If you have faith in Jesus, you will be in glory with Jesus. Isn't that good news? Listen, we started with some heavy stuff tonight. There's a lot of trials going on. I mean, some people are going through some probably the worst times of their entire life. Some people are dealing with trials that they don't know how to deal with. You know, people come to me and they want counseling for me. And, you know, when somebody comes to you and they want help, you want to give them answers, right? You want to have the answer. And have some kind of great wisdom that's going to make everything better. You know what I ended up telling people most of the time? I wish I had something to say to you that was going to fix things. I wish that I could fix all your problems, but I can't. But I know who can. I don't know if God's going to take this problem away from you. I don't know if he's going to just give you the strength to get through it. I just know that I know God's the one you got to go to. I mentioned it Sunday, but man, it's been on my heart lately. It's Galatians 6. He says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Man, that's been heavy on me lately. We want to bear one another's burdens, and I'm still trying to figure out how to do that. How do you do that? I just know this. Sometimes bearing one another's burdens just means to be with somebody. Weep with those who weep. Right? Rejoice with those who rejoice. Just be with somebody. I don't know. I'm still learning. I know y'all thought I had it all figured out. It's taken me a long time to realize that even though you're a pastor, sometimes you don't have to have things to say. Sometimes it's best to just keep your mouth shut. Just listen. Sometimes somebody just needs somebody to talk to. Somebody to listen. And then somebody to pray with. I know this. You can endure the trials that you face in this life because you've been redeemed. Amen. He talks about being refined as well. Verses 6 and 7 says, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold, like all kinds of temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes. So your faith is much more precious than gold. Amen. Though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now, friends, you're going to go through some times of heaviness. You're going to go through some trials. And by the way, I believe every trial and temptation you face in this world is a trial of your faith. Amen. You say, well, I was just sick. No, it'll test your faith. Amen. Now, we were just having some money trouble. No, it'll test your faith. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? Like, it's not like everything has to be some spiritual doubt. Like, I ran across something in the Bible I didn't understand, didn't know how to deal with it, wasn't sure. I talked to some atheist, and they got me tripped up and really questioning some things. No, I'm talking about just everything you go through in life is a trial of your faith. Everything. But when you stay faithful, when you endure with faithfulness because of the hope that you have in Christ, God is going to refine you. He refines us through a trial. So there's our redemption by God. We're refined through trials, and we're rejoicing in Christ. Verse 8 says, "Whom having not seen ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith." What is the result of your faith? Even the salvation of your souls. Now I want you to just stop for just a second. I want you to think about these verses right here, verses 8 and 9. Whom having not seen, ye love. Let me ask you something. Do you love Jesus? Amen. You've never seen him. Have you? I'm going to tell you haven't seen him, because every picture that I've seen is a bunch of nonsense. Amen. Amen. We got all these paintings of Jesus. We got all these pictures of Jesus. We got little cartoons of Jesus. There's little figurines of Jesus. I can't hardly handle it. I'm just going to tell you. Like, I can't. Oh. I can't hardly take it. None of us have seen Jesus with these eyes. But I know him. And I love him because he loved me. Having not seen, ye love. Though you don't see him, you believe. And because you believe, you rejoice with joy beyond words. Amen. Joy beyond words and full of glory. Listen, I know that when you're going through the middle of a trial, it's hard to see the other side. It's hard to get your mind out of the trouble. But I'm just telling you, friend, listen to me. Look up. Amen. Look up. Stop looking down at your trouble. Stop looking in at yourself. Look out of yourself and up. And when you see him and you believe in him, you love him. Amen. And he'll give you joy that is beyond understanding. Why? Because how in the world could you be in the middle of trials and troubles and tribulations and temptations and difficulties, and your whole life's crumbling around you, and you could still have joy in your soul? Amen. Because you believe. Amen. And because you love him. Because he first loved you. What a Savior. You know, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. For the joy that's set before you, you can endure. Remember who he is and what he's done for you. So it's redeemed by God. It's refined through trials. It's rejoicing in Christ, because the end of it all, the result of your faith, is the salvation of your soul. No matter what happens, no matter what happens, you have salvation. And there's the revelation of salvation. Verses 10 and 12, there's a lot here that I don't understand, but he says the salvation that you have, the prophets from before inquired and searched diligently. They prophesied of the grace that would come. They were searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ that was in them signified, when it testified before of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. It was revealed to them that not to themselves, but to us, they ministered the things that were told them, and that people were receiving in Peter's day. The prophets were writing about hundreds of years before and thousands of years before, and they didn't understand it. Amen. They wanted to understand it. They didn't have a full understanding, but now we do. Amen. The revelation is this. Christ became one of us to save all of us who believe. That the gospel would come to the whole world through Jesus Christ. I don't know what kind of trial you're going through tonight, but I want to ask you to do something we've had a great example of tonight. I want to ask you to be honest with yourself. Pretending like there's not a problem isn't going to make anything better. I think the professionals call that denial. Sometimes we like to pretend like things are okay when they're not okay. But you're never going to get better that way. It's like our sin. You know, if you confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. And you know that's true. But if you lie to yourself about your sin, then you can't confess it. And if you don't confess it, then he won't forgive it. But if you'll be honest with yourself about your sin, then you can confess it and you will be cleansed. Amen. So tonight, whatever trial you're going through, please look to the hope we have in Jesus. We're going to stand together. We're going to end our service tonight with a song. And I pray that while we sing tonight, the Holy Spirit convicts your heart that you'll respond in faith and obedience. I have no idea what everybody in the room is going through, but I know everybody in the room is going through something. Amen. And I know you can't do it on your own. Amen. So don't try to tough it out. Bring it to Jesus. You can pray right where you're at. That's fine. But there's also this prayer bench up here, the front pew. We like to use those to pray at. Maybe tonight you just feel compelled to get on your face before God and seek his face, whatever it is. If he's convicting your heart, there's something you need to deal with, then you come while we sing.